From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
For example, if that father said, hey, don't go over there, it's dangerous, you'll fall over the ledge and there's some rocks down there and you'll hit the water. What if the kid said, I'm gonna do what I want, I'm free, right? I can do whatever I want to. Well, when he goes to the edge and he falls, what's the father gonna say? Good for you. You need to be obeying God to joyfully comply with His molding and His instructions.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, the conclusion of a message we began yesterday, a message that talks about a place that we must find ourselves every single day. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Living in His Presence.
You see, sin is choosing to go one way when God has asked you to go another. Have you ever done that? When God says, don't say that, we say it anyway. God says, leave that for another time. Oh, no, I want it now. God, don't buy that. I buy it anyway. Have you ever done that? You see, there's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us, isn't there? That we have a tendency to go away from the presence of the Lord. It was sort of put into us from our first parents, Adam and Eve, who when they sinned in the Garden of Eden and the Lord came looking for them, what did they do? Instead of going to the Lord, what did they do? They hid, yeah, they were hiding. They went away from the presence of the Lord. And that same sin, as it were, that tendency is in every single one of us. And we're learning to live in the presence of God, which requires us to deal promptly with sin, to not let it linger. And when we deal promptly with sin, the Lord embraces us back quickly. And then fellowship vertically and horizontally is restored. Let's read what it says in 1 John 1:7. Ready? Go. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that great? Bible says if we walk in the light or in His presence as He is in the light, then there's a fellowship with one another. There's a relationship that we have with people that's healthy. And if we mistake or mess up, the blood of Jesus is there to cleanse us from all sin. What a wonderful, wonderful invitation. And God says it's there. So see, what God did on the cross was He purchased that forgiveness. Question is, how long is it going to take you to come and receive that gift of forgiveness? It's already been forgiven. So the Lord says, I paid the price for forgiveness. Now, I'm waiting for you to deal with sin. Now, you can tolerate it, you can endorse it, you can stay with it, you can allow it to remain, or you can come to the cross and deal with it. But forgiveness is already paid. How long is it going to take you to come to the cross? And a lot of times we know it's paid for, but we don't come to the cross. We tolerate it. Instead, when we sin, we mess up. Instead of allowing it to cause us to repent and get better because of it, so we learn, instead, if we tolerate it, it causes us to get more subtle in sin, craftier in sin, a little bit more civilized about the way we sin. And the Lord is saying, no, no, no. I've paid for that forgiveness. And so, come. And now, we have to remember that all of us are going to sin. I mean, we're not endorsing it. We're not believing for it. But, you know, the thing is, we don't forget that we're Christians. We forget that we're human and that we're frail people and that we make mistakes. And God has provided that forgiveness. We all mess up. Again, we're not believing for it, but we make mistakes. How many of you have sinned like once? Raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The ones of you that didn't raise your hand, you just lied. So now you sin once. We're all in the same trash can. Let me just tell you that. And the Lord says, I have provided forgiveness already. So the blood of Jesus is there to cleanse us from all sin. How long is it going to take you to come? See, a lot of times, no, we're like that husband. No, 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 no. And the Lord said, no, it's already provided. Did you know that God knew that you would be sinning? And He knew exactly what your sin would be. And He already prepaid for that on the cross. It's not, you know, what we do doesn't take God by surprise. No, it's not like God is in heaven going, oh, I didn't think He would do that. Oh, man. No, God knew. And He prepaid because He loves us that much. And so when we do mess up, he's waiting. Just waiting. But you know, a lot of times we don't come to him. And so that sin separates us. It's not that God pulled away from us. It's we've chosen to pull away from him. It's like the old guy, you know. Because sometimes we mess up. We say, where's God? It's an old man and his old wife. They're like 100 years old. And then they're driving this old car down this road. And they see this couple, this young couple, and they're watching the sunset. And the lady's right next to him, you know. And they're watching the sunset. She's scooted right next to him. And the wife says, Harold, look at those kids. We used to be like that. You know, she's sitting on one side and he's sitting driving on the other. We used to be like that. What happened, Harold? What happened? And Harold looked at her and said, I didn't move. You know, a lot of times there's a separation. We say, where's God? God says, I didn't move. But you see, we are like Jonah and we flee from the presence of the Lord and then wonder why we're so lonely. Wonder why there's so many consequences in our life. God says, I haven't moved. My forgiveness is there. When are you going to come? Deal promptly with sin. He's waiting. And that's what it means to come to Jesus Christ. The Lord is saying, I paid for your sins. You're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you to come home. And that's what it means to receive Christ. And if you've never received Christ before, that's why we give opportunity often here at New Hope to invite you. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens a door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. He's inviting us to learn to live in his presence and to receive forgiveness. Does that mean since Jesus died on the cross, everybody's okay? No, he bought forgiveness, but I must come to the table now. So if you've never done that, receive Christ. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make. So the price was paid. And he's saying, now deal promptly with sin, lest you drift further and further away. I tell this story that I'd like to tell. And it's about Tommy, who's about 8 years old, and his sister Sally, who's about 11. And they would spend their summers with Grandpa on his little farm up on the side of a hill some states away. And Grandpa would have chickens and ducks and geese and different farm animals. And Tommy, because he's in the city, couldn't play with a slingshot. But when he was spending the summers with Grandpa, he could play with his slingshot. So he took his sling with him. And one day they were playing around and he was shooting at trees and he saw some of the ducks down by the pond, so he thought he'd scare them. So he put a big old rock and pulled it way back and zzzz, out it went. And instead of scaring it, just by mistake, it hit a duck right in the head. Grandpa's favorite duck. Whap! Hit that thing right on the cranium. Quack, 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 quack. Tommy saw that. Oh, no, that's Grandpa's favorite duck. He ran down there. Oh, no, tried to give it mouth-to-beak resuscitation. It didn't work. And it just did. Oh, no, you know how we panic. Oh, no, no, no. So he ran up behind a tree, dug a hole, put the duck in the hole, and covered it over. Oh, no, this is Grandpa's favorite duck. Oh, no. And see, he's just going to go back to the farmhouse and put his slingshot away forever. He was feeling terrible. When as he got towards the farmhouse, his sister Sally was leaning up against a fence post like this. He said, hi, Sally. She said, I saw you. He said, saw what? I saw you kill Grandpa's favorite duck, and you buried it. Oh, no, he said, oh, don't tell him. Oh, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to. She said, then you will do exactly as I say. He said, I will, I will, I will. And sure enough, that night they were eating dinner. And after dinner, Grandpa said, Tommy, you and I go sit in the living room. And Sally, why don't you go help Grandma wash dishes? Quickly, she said, oh, Grandpa, Tommy loves to do dishes. Don't you, Tommy? Tommy sprung out of his seat. Oh, I love to do dishes. Ran into the kitchen and frantically began washing plates. Grandpa thought, okay. So they went into the living room and he said, Sally, why don't you go in there and help Grandma cut that wonderful apple pie she just made and some Haagen-Dazs ice cream. And Tommy, come on in here and let's have some dessert while the girls fix those pies and that ice cream. Oh, Sally said, you know, Tommy does not like ice cream and pie. In fact, he wants to give me his ice cream and pie. Don't you, Tommy? Yes, I despise ice cream, Grandpa. I despise pie. I want mine to go to Sally. Oh, really? So that night, she had two pieces of pie and two scoops of ice cream. Well, this went on for 4 days. He became a veritable slave to his sister. Finally, after 4 days, Tommy could not handle this anymore. And he ran up to Grandpa, fell on his knees, and said, "Grandpa, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do this." And Grandpa said, "What? What? Oh, I was just shooting my... Oh, Grandpa, I feel terrible. No, tell me." "Oh," he said, "I didn't mean to. I shot my slingshot like over here, and the wind blew it. Okay. Hit your favorite Douglas, and it died. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I buried it behind a tree. I shouldn't have. I should have told you. I'm so sorry."
Grandpa said, "Oh, I know all about that."
You what?"
"Yes," he said, "I was watching from the upstairs bedroom. And I saw. And I knew that you weren't trying to kill a duck. You were just trying to scare him."
"Yeah, yeah, yeah."
"And you know, when that happened, I saw. And Grandpa forgave you right on the spot. Because I knew that's not what your heart was."
You forgave me?"
"Uh-huh. 4 days ago."
"Then why did you wait so long to tell me?"
Grandpa smiled and said, "Because I wanted to see how long you were going to let your sister run your life." Isn't that how true it is that Jesus paid for our sins when? Yesterday? 2,000 years ago. It's paid. And when we don't resolve sin, it's sort of like the Lord saying, "How long do you want the enemy to run your life? How long do you want consequences of sin to eat away like Pac-Man at your destiny and at your future and your promise and your inheritance? How long do you want to go on and suffer and have to live underground and fight and struggle with relationships? I have designed your life and I want the best for you, and you're going to mess up. But if you will deal with sin promptly, then my presence will be restored." Oh, this next verse is so good. Let's read it together out of Acts 3:19. Ready? Go. "Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." You see, God is saying, repent and what? Return. In order. Why? It's a prerequisite. In order for what to happen? That times of refreshing might come. From what? From being restored to the presence of the Lord. You see, if we want to have a measurement of whether or not we're living in His presence, are we dealing promptly with sin? Are we tolerating and letting the devil just eat away our future because of it? The price has been paid. How long is it going to take you to go to the table and ask God to sup with you and you with Him? He's waiting. Come to Him. If you've never received Christ, please do it. And if you've received Christ and you sin and you stumble, don't wait. Deal with it promptly and say, "Lord, I messed up." And you watch, He'll embrace you and restore you to His presence. And you know what will happen then? You'll begin to grow. Would you write number 3? Another measurement is an ongoing growth. Ongoing growth. See, a lot of people grow old in the Lord. They don't grow up. See, they just grow older. We don't, there's not an ongoing growth. You got to let the Lord begin to mold you and shape you. You see, if a potter is doing something on a wheel and that clay gets dry and brittle and obstinate to the touch of the potter, then when he tries to mold it, it'll crack and he'll destroy it and he'll have to toss it away. And sometimes we get obstinate. And God is saying, "Wayne, remove that attitude. Stop thinking that way. Don't be going that relationship. You need to end that. You need to change. Stop frequenting that thing. Stop going around there. You know, that's where you used to be and temptation is too strong. Don't go in that area anymore. That's not right for you. It's no good for you." And we just, but we get obstinate. I'm free. I can do whatever I want to. Are you? When we disobey God, we are no longer free because we have a misdefinition of freedom. And we go into an area and we are imprisoned again. We're bound up again. The Lord says freedom only comes when you obey Christ, because I know how to keep you free without you being imprisoned again by your old ways, your old mindset, your old depression, your old obsessions. And so when we obey the Lord, then He is able to mold us, change this facet, change this way of thinking, and we become all that He created us to be. You know any obstinate people? People just say, no, I just think it's like this. No, and even if it's wrong, you prove it to them. Nope, I still don't want to change. And they just don't change. I know some Israelites. They were like that. It's time in the Old Testament, the Lord said, don't go this way. And they said, we're going to go anyway. The Lord said, because of that, my presence will not go with you. Why? Well, we'll find out. Let's read the scripture. Ready? Go. I will not go in your midst because you are an obstinate people, lest I destroy you on the way. Now, when the people heard this sad word, they went into mourning. For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the sons of Israel, you are an obstinate people. Should I go up in your midst for one moment, I would destroy you. What is he saying? He's saying, within my presence, I will be changing you into my image, not me into yours. So there is an atmosphere of likeness taking place. But if you refuse to change, if you refuse to bend in this atmosphere of molding and shaping, pack, you'll break. And if I go up with you in for a moment, and if you're an obstinate people, it'll break you, it'll destroy you. And I want to work with you still, so my presence will not go with you until you change your heart and become moldable and fashionable. If we want to learn to live in his presence, we need to be people that when the Lord pushes here, we give in and we joyfully comply. We obey his instructions so that he can change us from glory to glory. Because that's what the Spirit's responsibility is, to change us. And he's doing that. And if we resist, that's why people say, I don't want to go to church. Why? Because I don't feel good. They make me do stuff I don't want to do. It's not that God is making you do stuff that you don't want to do. It's he's molding you into the design that he has for you, because no one knows better your future than he does. But because you're obstinate, when God is molding you, you're resisting the Holy Spirit. And that's what makes it hard. It's not God. It's my obstinate heart. Let's read what it says. Ready? Go. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. God is always with us. He's watching over us. But as we obey him, that's what keeps us free. And you learn to live in his presence. A couple days ago, I was down at Ala Moana and I was watching this brand new father watch over, take care of his about 10-month, 12-month-old child. And you could tell it's his first baby because he's so doting, he's so cautious, he's so wary, you know. Don't eat that. Okay. He's just, you know that's your first kid. Second kid is like, hey, no go there, you bang your head, eh? Watch out. Third kid, be back at 4 o'clock, eh? So, like this is his first kid, And I noticed that child could be completely at ease, completely free of the fear of danger, because he was under the watchful eye of a very loving father. And I thought, Lord, that's how you are, aren't you? You watch over us. But in order to live free from danger, we must obey. For example, if that father said, hey, don't go over there, it's dangerous, you'll fall over the ledge and there's some rocks down there and you'll hit the water. What if the kid said, I'm going to do what I want, I'm free, right? I can do whatever I want to. No, don't go to the ledge, be careful. No, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, when he goes to the edge and he falls, what's the father going to say? Good for you. You see, in order to remain in the embrace or the presence or the fear-chasing embrace of God, so you don't have to worry about fear, then you need to be obeying God to joyfully comply with his molding and his instructions. When I say, forget it, I'm going to do what I want to. If you say something I like, I might do it. But if you say something I don't like, I ain't going to do it. Then watch. We are like Jonah. And we leave the presence of the Lord. And then when consequences hit us, we think, why? What happened? See, God loves us so much, and he's going to watch over us. The question is, do we recognize his presence? And do we comply with his presence? We're learning to live in his presence. And then if we skin our knee because we went too far out, the first thing to do is come back and say, Father, I just wandered out too far. The Father will embrace you, clean off your knee, and squeeze you back to his heart again. It's okay. We'll learn, huh? Okay, stay in Dad's view now. Make sure that you're right in this area. Yeah, I'm watching over you. And that child then can have the full freedom of danger and consequences because a father's watching over him. And that's what we want to be, people who have a relationship with one another and that there's a cleanliness there. Then we deal promptly with sin, and there's an ever-increasing likeness that takes place as God gives us more and more of a breadth because of the maturity and the wisdom that's coming in into our hearts. And little by little, we'll look more like our Father with the wisdom, with the understanding, with the strength deep within. And when that happens, now you're learning to live in His presence, because when people see you, I sure want them to be able to say to all of us, now look at those people. That is a people of His presence. I want to be like that, don't you? Let's be those kinds of people. Let's be that. Let's stand together. Would you bow your heads with me as we conclude in prayer? As I said before, if you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I need forgiveness, God knows. But I think I just kind of wait too long. Or I kind of snack on His gift of forgiveness, and then I just promptly go back into rejecting His ways. If you say, you know, I want to receive Christ today, I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior, would you pray for me? I'm going to ask you right now just to raise a hand. And in doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus. Go ahead. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, you too. Yeah, all right. All right. Yep, in the back. Hold them up just for a second so I can see them. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. You can put your hands down. Lord Jesus, as we conclude in prayer, would you see these hands and the hearts that are connected? And Lord, I pray that you'll embrace them. Let them know that you're a loving Father and that you'll wash their wounds and hold them close and restore them to your presence, that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. Help us to be a people who learn to live in your presence, that we are never alone, never. But although you're with us, help us to recognize that fact so that we can live in your presence, not forget about your presence. We want to be a grateful people. Oh, we love you. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If this is the first time you've received Christ, outside there's a yes table. Please stop by and they have a yes packet for you. There's some material they would love to give to you that'll help you in your first few steps with the Lord. Now, some of you will need to hear this message again because there's a lot of stuff in there just to remind you so that you'll catch the fragrance of the presence of the Lord and it just becomes a part of you. And that's why we do quick copy tapes outside and you can pick it up within 3 minutes or so, because it's just being copied at high speed. And take one of those and listen to it again and allow God to renew His word so that you start to catch it. It's a lot of times it'll go in and we'll miss it. Listen to it 2, 3, 4 times so that more of that residue begins to remain in you. And you'll find that you'll grow so much better. So that's available for you outside. Stop by the bookstore and get a quick copy tape or a CD or either one. But before we do all that, would you just with a hand clap thank God for what He's teaching us? How could I but love you? How could I?
How could I but serve you?
How could I?
How could I but follow you, my God?
My God. Oh, how could I?
How could I but love you?
How could I?
How could I but serve you?
How could I?
How could I but follow you, my God?
My God, my God,
my God.
God bless you. Give someone a hug on your way out, would you please?
How could I but love you?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Living in His Presence by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Thank you for listening, and please tell a friend. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.